Luke 17:3, and maybe some of Acts 26:20. I don't want to step on Alabichum's toes because we're going to be getting to Acts 26 pretty soon, but I just want to just touch on this word repentance. Let me just read to you this. And Peyton, if you can just put it on the screen, thank you. Luke 17:3 says this, everybody. This is a very important passage, and I pray that, especially today on the Lord's Day, the Lord's Table Day, the day that we observe communion, that this addresses you and that it blesses you and that this message, these scriptures, lift you up real quickly. Luke 17:3 says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him." Okay, that's a very simple verse. But let me just point out just some things that I think it says that will help us. So you all know me, I like alliterations. Alliterations are words that not necessarily start with the same letter, but they have the same sound at the beginning. So I'm going to use a combination of starting with the same letter and sound the same. I just want to give you just five words that I think will be a blessing to us. Here's what it says. He says, first of all, take heed to yourselves. That means just relax. Review the situation. All of us have done something wrong. All of us have, at one point in our lives, stepped on someone's toes, offended somebody, hurt someone's feeling, did something to someone that was a problem. Even if it wasn't a problem for you, it may have been a problem for them. And the Lord is just saying, when something happens in your life, when there is some sort of conflict, when there's some sort of engagement that's negative, just stop, breathe, take a breath, relax, review your life first. Start with you. Amen? Just think of whenever we got into a confrontation or some sort of conflict or some sort of argument or fight, we stopped and thought, now, what about me? How am I problematic here? What have I done wrong lately? Who have I offended lately? How many times have God forgiven me this week? Start with you. Always start with you. Because number one, when you start with you, it allows you a chance to breathe a little bit and let the situation that you're going through cool down a little bit. It brings the temperature down in the room. It allows you to sort of reflect. That's an R that I didn't include in there, but a reflect works too. But I think just reviewing our current situation, just be a little more introspective. Lord, am it's me, oh Lord, stand in need of prayer, the Negro spiritual. I think start there, amen? That helps resolve conflict so much smoother when we first see, what can I do to help? What have I done to contribute to this problem? How can I make the world a better place? How can I make my neighborhood, my family a better place? Let me start with me. And isn't the Lord so brilliant? And he's so beautiful. He, as Sister Jamie says, he's just a sweetheart. He always finds a way to diffuse a situation and cause us to just take a step back. So Jesus says in Luke 17, take heed to yourselves, aka check out yourself. He says, if thy brother trespass against thee, and I put another R, it's not in the notes. You have my notes, so I'm going to skip that for sake of time and just tell you a couple things that are not in the notes. Resist the temptation to go off. Resist the temptation to make the situation worse. Amen. I love what the Lord says. He says, inasmuch as lies within you, be at peace with all men. The Lord, to the Lord, maybe not to some of us, but to the Lord, he prioritizes, watch this, he prioritizes relationships. He prioritizes peace. He prioritizes reconciliation. He prioritizes us getting along. You know, I've heard preachers say, if we can't get along down here on earth, how are we going to get along with heaven? Well, hopefully we'll be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4 says we're going to be changed. We're going to be different people. So I may not have as much patience as I like down here, but I'm hoping I'm going to be a better version of myself in heaven. Amen. And I definitely hope y'all will be a better version of yourself. Just kidding. Just kidding. You guys are great. You guys are great. And he said, let me just say this, because we were talking about anniversaries and birthdays and stuff. Let me just say that this date is special to me as well, to Sister Marie and I. On July 5th, today is July 5th, right? On July 5th, we had the very honorable privilege, in 1992, on July 5th, Justin's grandfather was on vacation in Florida, and we got the call from Dennis Rudolph or Mike Peeler. I don't remember which one of them called us. They called us on Saturday, July 4th, 1992, and said, hey, welcome back in town. We were living in St. Louis. He said, welcome back in town. Hey, this dude named Carl Prax called me and said, Bob Meek is not going to be at his church. Can you come and preach for us? You all heard the story. I've told it 1,000 times. But it was on July 5th, and this was July 5th, 1992, which was 34 years ago. 34 years ago. And I think only Justin was here at the time. That's still a part of our congregation. But Tiff's parents, Mike and Marilyn, were members of the church already. When we got here in 1992, Mike and Marilyn were here, Justin and his family was here, and I am so thankful that all of you have come since then. Some of you have been here since the first time we were at Indian Hills downstairs. Remember, we were downstairs before the pool was there. Then they kicked us out to upstairs. They put the pool in. We worshiped upstairs. Then we went to the mall. But what a blessing, amen? What a blessing. And I love what Sister Marie said about just how it's just a good place. Bacara brought this up too. It's a good place to worship. It's a good place because we try to be Christ-centered. We try to be word-centered. We try to keep it simple, keep it to the book. Amen? And I just want to just finish this by saying Luke 17:3 also says that we should rebuke our brother that sins against us. And I just wanted to define that, because it doesn't mean to rebuke the way we think of rebuke and going off on somebody or going in on somebody or just like letting them all go. And unleashing, it means to confront gently in love. That's what I looked up. That's what the word actually means when you break it down into its original definition. It's confront in love and truth. And I love the fact that the Lord adds in there with gentleness. Because all of us need forgiveness. So don't beat up on the guy that hurts your feelings or offends you, knowing that you have been in that same situation. And if you live long enough, my mother used to always say, if you live long enough, I can hear it. Can you hear her saying that, Teresa? Can you hear her saying that, Karen? If you live long enough, you're going to see that you need all the grace and mercy you can get. Amen? Amen. Just keep living, she would say. Boy, oh boy, was she right. Boy, I wish I could tell her right now, Mom, you were right. I am so sorry for being such a knucklehead, because I see what you're saying. Even at 71, almost 72, I can still see what you're saying. And boy, I'm so grateful for her wisdom and the wisdom and knowledge of the older saints that have gone on before us. So there were five quick people that I thought about when it came to reconciliation or forgiveness, but I'm only going to talk about one, and that's Saul over in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel 15, 24 and 30. Here's what happened. He disobeyed God, and Samuel confronted him about the fact that he didn't obey God and didn't take out the nation that was idolatrous. And Saul said, I have sinned, but in doing so, he blamed the people that was with him. And the reason I wanted to point out, Saul, this part is in the notes. Let me just point this out. Don't blame other people for your shortcomings. Don't try to say, as I don't know if you guys remember the old Flip Wilson script. He said, the devil made me do it. Don't go Flip Wilson on us and say the devil made you do it. Don't point to the person behind you, like in Genesis 3 when God confronted Adam about sinning, eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Remember that? And Adam turned, he blamed. He said, the woman you gave me, now she's the woman you gave her. Yesterday, my beautiful wife, Eve, they were somewhere sitting under a cherry tree eating cherries or whatever. Now the woman you gave me, she's the one that made me eat. And then, you know, the woman said, no, it's the serpent that you name it, that you made. Don't do that. That's not the way to get reconciliation, and it's not the way to gain, as Matthew 18 says, gain your brother or your sister. We got to take responsibility. Amen? Amen? I love this in closing. I love this because Jesus says, if they repent, forgive them. That means release them from their debt. Let it go. Once someone tries to apologize or make up, just let it go. Even if it's a clumsy, brutally awkward apology, even if it's the tone isn't all that you would like it to be, even if they don't always choose the right words, cut them some slack. Just let it go. They made an attempt. They came. Don't try to judge the sincerity of it. Don't try to decide if it's authentic or not. Just let it go. They came to you. They wanted to get together. They wanted to make things work. They wanted to mend fences. Let it go. Amen? Jesus does this better than any. I don't care. You can read all the books that you want to about forgiveness and reconciliation and relationship therapy and all the things that are out there. No one does it better than the Word of God. Because the Lord says, if they don't say they're sorry at first, keep trying. You do all that within, that's within you. You keep going to that well, saying, hey, can we get together? Can we make up? I'm sorry. Even if it was your fault, you don't say that to them. But you think in your mind, okay, I don't even remember being responsible for this issue. But you're responsible because there is an issue. The Lord says when you are in Matthew 5, when you're going to the altar and you remember that your brother has an ault against you, he said nothing about how it started. He says nothing in his word about whose fault it is. He said nothing about where the blame resides. He just said if an issue exists between you and your brother, stop the presses. No offering necessary right now. No gifts accepted right now. No talents accepted right now. I don't want anything from you but peace and harmony between you and your brother and sister. Make that priority one, the Lord says. Then we can worship. Then we can shout. Then we can dance. Then we can sing. But right now, y'all got to start talking to each other. You got to get this over with. You got to get this done. This has to be put behind us. That's what the Lord is saying. Make peace with your brothers and sisters. Top priority. Higher than worship. Higher than fellowship. Higher than sacrifice. He wants us to get along because that's how he evaluates our relationship with him. Yes. Through each other. Amen. That's all I got. That's it. Any questions? Any questions?